Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Happy Friday. It is a game day as the Sabres Prospects Challenge begins tonight. Marty, I'm Brian. It's great to have you along. It is a time of opportunity, without question, for the players who get to don all the respective jerseys across the NHL and the various rookie slash prospect tournaments that are happening across the continent. What do you think the feeling is for the boys in blue and gold? Assuming blue and gold is the color of choice.
It is going to be blue and gold, yes. There's only 15 times this year they're going to wear the gold head, and most of them are, well, not most of them, five are going to come on Fridays, another 10 at home. Everybody's going to love it, but yeah, they're going to wear blue and gold. And the feeling for me, it differs from where you are or where you have been the last few years. We're going to talk to Ryan Johnson in a little bit here, but for him, it has to be where, okay, how do I take another step forward? Yuri Kulik, how do I take steps forward, right? Mm-hmm. Konstantelainis, how do I make my mark for the first time in a game situation with that jersey on? There's a lot of different ways to view these opportunities, but they are opportunities. It doesn't matter if you're Scott Ratzlaff in net or Yuri Kulik. There's opportunities to show what you've got in either I'm building on what I've already done, or I'm starting to build that foundation for what hopefully will be a long career in Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it that way, because I think what we've learned over and over and over again and need to remind ourselves of saying is that even if the opportunity doesn't flourish now, it can at a much later stage in your career and your life. Now, normally we do birthdays kind of sprinkled throughout the show or traditionally towards the end, but I think there's a really natural theme here in Sabre birthdays and how it can tie in with the Prospects Challenge and what may lie ahead for many of these players. Now, it's kind of special that we get to start with happy 50th, Craig Rivet, which is awesome. And, you know, I think it's fair to say that Craig's time in Buffalo was challenging, right? I mean, he'd played so long in the league, and it was a difficult time in and out of the lineup, but nothing will ever take away the moment that he provided for the Sabres, for the community, for everyone in Western New York in wake of the crash of Flight 3407. Yep. And less than 24 hours later, after the team had squandered a huge lead to San Jose, he rescued them with that shot with less than 5 seconds left that would ultimately be credited to Pominville on the redirect. But it was a three-assist night for Craig that lives in Sabres history. And I know Craig never saw that night coming, but it happened because of what he's capable of and how long he played in the NHL, right? And I love that. I mean, it was the worst circumstances for the families of the victims and the tragedy that had enveloped the community. But the power of sports is to start the healing process, right, Marty? And Craig was front and center with that. So we wish him.
I remember watching that game because I was in Philly then, and we didn't play that night. And I remember watching that game because I had talked to so many people in Clarence. I still had my house in Clarence at the time, Clarence Center. And the community and friends and the family is still in Buffalo. And so I remember saying, I'm going to tune in. I watch hockey all the time, but I'm going to really pay special attention to that one. And the way that it was very emotional. And, you know, the goal to tie it, the overtime, everything, it just was the shootout. It was very, very special to the people of Buffalo. And yeah, Rivs was a captain and had a big part in playing in that and against his former team of all. Mm-hmm. There was a lot there, and that's going to be one moment that's going to live on Sabres history forever.
Right. And so happy birthday, Craig. Happy 50th. Then there's Mark Jankowski, who's also at a nice round number. He's at 30. And Mark's a former first rounder. Happy birthday to Mark Jankowski. He didn't play a lot in Buffalo. And as recently as last season, now age 30, was still trying to carve out full-time NHL minutes. Mm-hmm. It was only in March of this year that he was rewarded by the Predators with a 2-year contract extension.
Yep.
One way, as he gets to move forward now with this revamped Nashville team. Few could have seen that coming. And few could have seen this play coming in Sabres history when everybody on the play stopped in Ottawa in a big scrum along the boards and Jankowski was left with a breakaway for his one and only game winner as a Sabre back in 2022.
So this is one of the most comical type of situation in the NHL. Kalaposo gets absolutely hammered by the camera bench, right? Between the two team benches. Everybody gathered there. Ottawa's on a change, so everybody's pushing and shoving. Victor Olofsson is in there. Matthias Samuelsson is in there, I believe. And Mark Jankowski didn't stop playing. He chased Josh Brown from behind, got the puck, and went on a breakaway. While everybody's at the benches, the linesmen are even separating players at the benches, thinking there's going to be a whistle. But you play until the whistle. You don't stop. And sure enough, you know, it was a very comical way to for him to get that goal. And if you were watching on MSG right now, you're probably saying, like, what the heck just happened? Just like we were, because we're in studio. Yep. And the camera's zooming in on, you know, the pushing and shoving that's happening. And all of a sudden it backs out of there and you see a break when you're like, what just happened here? So a very, very unique moment as well.
So happy birthday, Mark Jankowski, who just continues to push on and extend his pro hockey journey. Happy 32nd to one of the best stories that we saw unfold in the COVID era and, quite frankly, in any era. At age 28, Michael Hauser came into the fold for the Sabres and scored a win in his first NHL game. At that, there were nobody in the stands.
Nope.
It was against the New York Islanders. And incredibly, over the course of two seasons and two times up with the Sabres, if you will, he went 4-2, but in five of those six games, He had a save percentage of 944, 938, 957, 977, and 909. Like, he was really good in five of the six NHL games that he played. Michael Hauser is 32 today and continuing to play professional hockey. I can never get enough of that story and Michael Hauser's short but impressive time at the NHL level.
Yeah, I was a little scared because I got a call like a couple days before saying I may be backing up. First of all, it was like, can you be the emergency goalie? And then it was like, you may have to back up. So it was COVID. You have to enter the bubble, get tested. The Sabres were short on goalies, obviously, and a lot of teams were that year. And then Michael Hauser came in, had that win. But what I saw out of Michael Hauser in that year and the year after was a very, very talented technical goaltender. Not a lot of size to his game, but battled and was good technically. I actually watched a period with his family. His mom was like, I would think my mom would be or is when she watches my son or watched me playing, like moving with Michael as she's making saves in the stands and Michael is making saves with his brother and he's like talking about how he's worked, right? How Michael had worked to get there. And he had opportunities to go to Europe and maybe quit on the NHL dream. And no, I'm going to continue my NHL dream. He played in the East Coast Hockey League. He worked his way to the AHL. And then all of a sudden a pandemic happens and teams are using six and seven goalies. And Michael Hauser gets four games in the NHL 1 year, two the next, has a 948 save percentage in two games in the 2021 season. Like that's unbelievable. And I mean, it's two games, short sample, but still, it could be a 748 save percentage. No, it's a 948 save percentage.
Yeah.
A feel-good story. Michael Hauser is still the house cat. Everybody loves him.
So incredibly, as we launch into this show talking about opportunity with the Prospects Challenge starting tonight, for Hauser, there was that first opportunity late in the COVID shortened year.
Yes.
He went 2-2 his final game. He lost 1-0 against Pittsburgh, just to put into context how well he played again. The next year, incredibly, when he won the two games, he was about to become the Sabres' number one netminder at that time. They were about to embark on a four-game road trip, and Michael Hauser tested positive for COVID. And the Sabres didn't have any healthy goaltenders. Craig Anderson was battling a neck injury. Dustin Tokarski had been out for weeks, if not months, also due to COVID.
Yeah.
Aaron Dell got called up and in his first game netted himself a three-game suspension for taking out Drake Batherson.
Drake Batherson and the Ottawa Senators.
So now the road trip continued. Anderson came in and won a game, not playing, not at 100%.
Yeah.
Tokarski came in, clearly not at 100%, didn't win. Anderson went back in, Michael Hauser, after the COVID test, never played another game in the NHL. It hurts the heart to think of how he had put himself in a position to earn more time. And Marty, this is why we talk about it, because there's opportunity in front of kids today.
Yes.
But they also don't know, even if they think they have a spot, we don't know what's around the corner.
Or if you don't think you have a spot, you battle because you don't know when the door is going to be open. It opened for Michael Hauser. It can open for anybody. You get an invite to a prospect challenge. If you're not signed with the Sabres or if you're not drafted by the Sabres, who knows? Maybe Ottawa is in the crowd and they're like, hey, I like that kid. All of a sudden you get a contract, a tryout, a call up, whatever, right? Like you're hoping for opportunities. Like Michael Hauser got an opportunity, like Mark Jankowski got an opportunity, like anybody got opportunities. That's how it starts.
And the Prospect Challenge starts tonight. Today, as a matter of fact, over at Lecom Harbor Center, because of course there are teams other than just Buffalo and Columbus where the puck drops at 7 tonight at Lecom. But the action begins this afternoon at noon. Well, pardon me, it's underway. Boston and Pittsburgh. We have New Jersey and Ottawa. And of course, FanFest tomorrow, Sabres and Devils at 7. And then on Monday, it'll be the Penguins and the Sabres at 5. Opportunity abounds for Ryan Johnson as well, and it's great to see him. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, doing good, Brian. How about you?
Very well, thank you. How do you look at the opportunity that's in front of you right now based on where you're at in your career and where we're at on the calendar?
I think it's a great opportunity. I think it should be a lot of good fun and challenges too. I think obviously we have great team, great prospects coming in, great players already here. So I definitely see it as an opportunity where it'll be a challenge to, you know, compete every day and show up every day. I think also just an opportunity to have fun and just enjoy the time and the place where I'm at right now. And, you know, being able to be at the rookie camp right now too is another opportunity to, you know, get some good games in and help prepare. So
before you were even born, I go back to the summer of 1998. I had played a full year in the American League, and then I got a letter in the mail that says, oh, well, you're being invited to the rookie camp or the rookie tournament in Kitchener, Ontario. I was the only guy that had played pro hockey that year that was invited to the camp. All the other guys were juniors or college guys or whatnot. You played 41 NHL games last year. How do you approach the camp? Because I remember I was a little ticked off when I got that letter. I was like, what am I doing? I shouldn't be there. But you talk about being an opportunity. How do you approach like prospect challenge knowing that you played a half a season in the NHL last year?
Yeah, it's a good point. So yeah, I also was surprised. I got an email though, not a letter. but yeah, I just thought it was an opportunity. I was like, you know what? Good chance to be a leader. I think like last year I was in the same position, right? So last year I was coming in, so it's only been a year since then. And I know the players that are out there are really good and able to play in the NHL too. So honestly, yeah, it's really good hockey. So I just think it'll be good games, tough, competitive hockey, and you're just starting a little earlier than most guys. So yeah.
Ryan, where did you see the most growth in your game last year that allows you to be in such a good positive mindset coming into this year?
Yeah, I think just having the experience of playing pro hockey first year, you know, it was a lot of games with the NHL. So I got to see a lot of just great habits and be around a lot of great players. And then being in the American Hockey League too, you see all the guys that are working so hard and can be just at that same level. So it's definitely given me an eye-opening experience of, wow, like you definitely should be grateful for this opportunity and make the most of it. And I think, yeah, like work is obviously a big thing that factors into it at the end of the day. And then also like your mindset too. So I think those two things are, you know, developed over time and through like experience. And what you go through, you know, can make you stronger.
Yeah, I should point out that after my rookie camp in Kitchener, Ontario, I had a fantastic year. I, you know, got to play a couple of games in the NHL. I got my first win, by the way, in the NHL that year. We went all the way to the Calder Cup final. So it was great. It was a kind of like, it set the tone. I meant business when I went there, and then it kept business the rest of the year. So, but it doesn't just start with a prospect challenge. It doesn't just start with a training camp. It starts with the summer before. How did you approach summer training, and did you change anything this year having played a full year pro the year before?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think also a good point about summers, and obviously hockey's evolved in that way where guys are now putting the most work into their summers where before it was, you know, hit the golf course and I think you can do both for sure.
I did that. I'm guilty, but that's okay.
You can do both. So yeah, I think just for me, it's just, I just like to show up in the weight room every day, and it wasn't lifting weights every day, but it was, at least I knew I was putting intentional time in there and working on different things. And then just trusting my trainer's program for me. Was good. And yeah, I think also just like my dad, being able to skate with my dad was really helpful. And when I was in Minnesota, I also skated with a guy over there too. So had just great experiences, just training, just trying to put in the most work I could. And I think, you know, like when you're working hard and at the end of the day, you just, your summer training's not everything. You still have to show up in the year, and you know, your hockey is not like the weight room, it's a little different. So it's not always like the strongest guy who's, you know, the best player. So just, yeah, keeping that in mind, but also knowing like this work is, it's very important. And I just see it as a good opportunity to, you know, get stronger, rehab muscles, just, you know, shooting pucks too, or working on touches on the ice. So I just think that was definitely what I focused on this year, was that a lot of ice time. I'd say.
Did you split the summer between California and Minnesota? And how fast is your dad still on a scale of 1 to 10?
That's a really good question. So I was about 4 weeks in Minnesota, visiting my fiance and just obviously doing my training there too. And then in California, that was the majority, and then a few other trips I had. So you don't want to be traveling too much. I think it's good to have a place where you can settle in. And then about my dad, he got a little slower this summer. He was playing pickleball, which I don't know if you know, but you're not really moving that much. So he definitely seemed like...
Don't sell it short. Pickleball is still a good workout. Well, maybe for me, because I'm getting older, but it's still a good workout.
Yeah, but, you know, no quick steps. It's more... I guess you could get... You don't have to move as much as tennis, so...
Yeah, well, that's
not,
true.
Not as speedy as side-to-side as he was.
You mentioned your fiance, so you got engaged, which leads me to the... You know, there's a professional sports side of things, but there's a personal side of things. And now you're embarking into this journey and, you know, moving into building a family and all of that. And I wonder if you guys discussed this morning when you showed up at the rink, what happened with Tua last night and his concussion, and knowing that maybe 25 years ago, 20 years ago, everybody was said like, oh, you know what? He'll be back next week. He'll be back next week. And then all of a sudden, most people, even his coach, is saying, I just worry about the person. He's the quarterback of his family. I worry about him and his life, and he has to be there for his family. And so do you guys talk about this a little bit when you show up this morning? Because there's not just a football or hockey side of things, but there's a personal side of things too.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't see the injury. I just saw it like on the news, or it was on the TV this morning, and I was kind of shocked. I'm like, I wonder what he's feeling like reading that, you know, like, oh, like, is he going to play again? And he probably is like, I want to play again. It's probably his life passion, but I guess it's getting him thinking. I know he's a great guy. I've just seen interviews and stuff with him, and just being a man of faith too. I think he definitely sees value in other things above football, but at the end of the day, I hope he can play again, because I know it's what he wants. But yeah, you're right. It's very temporary. Sports are temporary. I think we do have to look at the big picture in a lot of things, and especially with the head. We talk about it so much here with like all the concussion stuff we do. Yeah. But I think it's wise to take a step back and see what he chooses, and I think he'll choose good.
Ryan, congratulations on the engagement, and best of luck in the camps plural that lay ahead for you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. And you bet. Yeah, it's good talking to you guys.
Always thoughtful and easy to root for is Ryan Johnson. And there's a lot of defensemen that are in the mix here for the Sabres this year. And you know what? There'll probably be some aspiring defensemen running around on Perry Street as part of Hockey Fest, which is part of Fan Fest. Although I don't know how we never did get a goals for, goals against total from last year's games, whether they were defensive struggles during Hockey Fest. But that is just a small, small, small part of Fan Fest, which has great activations inside and outside the building, player appearances. But most importantly, like we know the time of year, Marty, it's the current group that's here. It's not just alumni. So it's interacting with this year's group of Sabres, FanFest, presented by Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. And you can learn more about it, sabres.com/FanFest. It runs from 10 until 6. And that is basically all day tomorrow leading up to game 2 of the Prospects Challenge for the Sabres. So keep in mind, as you're probably well aware, unfortunately, that the one end of the arena, still a little bit of a mess trying to get into the arena based on everything that has happened down on South Park and Cobblestone and all the rest. So with Hockey Fest taking place on Perry, we've got free parking available in the surface lot. And you can access that at Perry in Baltimore or via Michigan Street. So that's all the good news that comes tomorrow. And what's the biggest takeaway from Ryan Johnson's words for you?
You know what? I love his honesty, because I was honest with not only myself, but kind of that chip on my shoulder when I had to go to rookie camp. And I think that he said he was surprised, got an email, not a letter in the mail, but he got an email that he was a little bit like, oh, okay. Because he played 41 games last year, right? It's not Keith Kincaid going to rookie camp in Long Island, right? He's like 30 some years old, and but he wants to get in shape and whatever. That's different. But often when you play a half a season in the NHL, a full year pro, maybe 2 years pro, you're kind of, don't want to say exempt, but you assume that, hey, I'm going to big camp. I'm going to fight for a top seven spot in the Sabres roster. It's going to be hard this year. There's Bryson, there's Dennis Gilbert, there's Ryan Johnson, there's Cale Clegg. Like, there's depth on the position if everybody remains healthy. So I think it's an honesty, and I love his thoughtfulness behind, you know, the answers and what's lays ahead with the prospect challenge. So I think he's one easy person to cheer for.
Right. And another young defenseman in the game that has far more attention on him is Luke Hughes. And after a terrific season with the Devils, unfortunately, we won't see him in the New Jersey lineup when the Devils and Sabres square off in Czechia to start the year on October 4th and 5th, because Hughes is out with a shoulder injury for 6 to 8 weeks. And, you know, the Devils had so much bad luck in the way of injuries last year that this is just a, you know, really difficult pill to swallow right off the get-go here.
Yeah. When I first read the press release, it says 6-8 weeks.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It read almost like 68 weeks, which is what my iPad is saying. I found an old iPad that has been locked, and it says it's locked for so many minutes. It's actually locked for over a year. I'm going to have to unlock it in a year from now. But no, when you think of Luke Hughes and say shoulder injury, you think of his brother Jack. And Jack Hughes, who's with the Devils as well, he's had shoulder injury. So is this a concern, the fact that both Jack and Luke now have had to deal with shoulder injuries? 6 to 8 weeks. Listen, he'll miss the first month of the regular season. We'll probably be ready in November. And, you know, that's when it really matters, is get healthy for November and on, and let's go. He'll miss maybe 10 games. But it's a hard blow again for the New Jersey Devils, who had to deal with so many injuries last year. Talk to Lindy Ruff about it. He'll tell you injuries were not easy, and the right. Devils are already starting with one man down.
Fridays are easy for us because Shayna Goldman joins next. Utah is the team of the day. We'll see if those two cross paths. Shayna and Utah, maybe, coming up on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, as promised, Shayna Goldman has returned here on Sabres Live, and it couldn't have come at a better time because, Shayna, Utah is our team of the day, and we've gone 30 minutes without even mentioning them. So do you have anything to say about the Utah Hockey Club?
I'm glad that they have a partial name because Utah was getting edited out of all of my articles for some reason when I was describing them as such. So now that I have Hockey Club, that's a good start. But no, I'm pretty excited about them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's just on the ice. I low-key think they have one of the best coaches in the league, and I think he did a great job managing the room when everything else was going on last year, when nobody wanted to respect these players and speak to them, so that's important. And I like the moves they made on the ice. I think I have question marks, right? Is Sergachev a true number one defenseman? Like, I legitimately have questions considering how he looked in matchup minutes when Tampa gave him more. But I think John Marino is a good bounce back candidate. And you see the pieces starting to come together on defense where they had a million open contracts. Mm-hmm. Pair that with the forward group. And the vision is there, right? Like, I'm a big Clayton Keller fan. And I think Logan Cooley at the end of the year picked it up. And you have these young guns around him. I think Michelli is a fantastic passer. Like, it's all kind of making sense. And they were in the playoff race till everything went insane last year. So can they turn them into something this year? I think so.
I will second what you're saying about Andre Tourigny.
Oh, there's a shocker. Guy does a radio show with him each week in Montreal.
Not each week, but I've done some radio with him. He also coached my brother in juniors in Shawinigan.
Oh, my God.
He
was biased so, journalism. Yes.
But I'll say this, and I like what he was able to 620 goal scorers last year.
Yeah.
Keller, Kraus, Bukestad, Schmaltz, Carconi, Cooley, like 620 goal scorers.
What was Andre's save percentage? If you're going to give him credit for scoring 20 goals.
Ingram was good. Ingram stepped it up. Like, he went from being what? Like, he was 19th in the NHL in goal save above expectation.
At the end of the day, they had 77 points. Let's calm down here.
But
on
here's
how good
my big
Utah
thing
was.
Because you guys are saying I'm biased. On my sheet of paper right at the bottom, I put Andre Tourigny on hot seat. If they don't start well, they have an owner that's not going to sit by and say, oh, well, this is fine. We're building. No, that owner is going to come down. Ryan Smith's going to come down and say, I need somebody else. I think Andre Tourigny is on the hot seat to
that's
start
a hot
the year in Utah. So, but I like him. But if they don't start well, there could be an early change in Utah.
That is a hot take to get this going. Like, I like that. I think you're very pleased that someone else brought him up so you could jump in with that. And I like how you
thank you
ended to be like, see, I'm not biased. So really brought it together there. Great work.
Will he wear more white shirts now that he is a member of the Utah Hockey Club? Duffer is the
fashion police. He's always like, look at Turingy. He doesn't, he's wearing a black shirt and it is.
Or a purple shirt or a yellow shirt.
I like that. I like, okay.
I do too, but sometimes it's just like, you know what would be really nice? Just a white crisp, shirt. White
shirt. I know, but I do like the variety personally. Like, listen, we can't all be Jared Bednar, who I would say is probably the most fashionable coach A1. In this league.
100%.
You know? The suits, they're perfect. And with the longer hair, it just, it all goes together.
Yeah. John but Cooper I like thinks the, he's I like the most fashionable in the league, but that's, you know, in his own mind.
Coop doesn't have Bednar's hair.
He critiques
hair,
my
so.
Suits. He's always critical of my.
His are not bad, though.
Right. Yeah, his are good. He's
we
good.
Don't have many coaches going for that four button look though, which like I think is a very underrated suit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give it like time.
Three piece. Three piece with the vest. Like nice. You know, now we have torts that's got the 3/4 zip. And it's
I love that.
Like it's different. It's going in a different way.
Yeah. Like the man might just be cold. It's functional and fashionable. Love that.
He is, because when I played for him in New York, he wore long shirts underneath his dress shirt because he was always cold, right?
And why are you looking at me when you say that? You know, that's me every single night. Okay, Logan
Cooley. I'm like that too. It's fine.
Cooley, Doan, or Guenther, who is going to have the biggest impact offensively this year for Utah?
I'm going to say Cooley because I think, one, he showed the building blocks last year, and so did Dylan Guenther, right? The second half of his year, below the surface, he was excellent at 5-on-5, really impressive there. And I think Doan has a lot of skill, but I think it's the, I think Cooley got the wheels going first. Yeah. The other part of it, I think, is going to be opportunity, and I think Cooley's going to be more of a top six capacity. Well, I could see Guenther and Doan being a part of a really good third line, but like the vision is there for a kid line that could be fantastic, that I think they'll all be good, but relative to where they're placed.
They might also have a lot of depth scoring on the third and fourth lines as well. When you consider, you know, someone like an Alex Kerfoot, like, is he really going to be a fourth line player? Like, I think there is some depth opportunity here.
He didn't score that much though.
No, I know. But he has more points on his career ledger than a lot of guys that you would have on a fourth line. That's kind of what I'm getting at.
So. Is Lawson Crouse the most likely candidate to be traded out of that group? Because it seems like there's a lot more upside and he's starting to get there. But if there was a guy that has fallen short a little bit, it's Lawson. I've loved him since I met him. He was a draft, hopeful. Like he was a prospect. And I'm like, this is a guy that's going to be really good in the NHL. And it's been good, but not great. Is he the most likely to be traded at some point with the Utah Hockey Club?
Yeah, I can see that. And it's like, I like him in Utah because I like that he brings something different to the lineup, right? He could be more of that net front guy. He has the size and it adds a little bit of versatility to a forward group, which is what you want to have, right? You don't want every line to look the same and every player to have the same attributes. But if you think about other general managers around the league, what do they love? Size and strength. And when they can bulk up for the postseason, they tend to overpay for it. And that's why we see guys like Ben Chiarot go for as much as they have, right? Gritty, strong, playoff built, right? In a way. So I feel like with Crouse, even though he obviously doesn't have playoff pedigree because he hasn't had the opportunity that much, you know, I could see a general manager being so excited about that possibility and go for it. And now pair the fact that he's like a younger guy and that could be a quick overpayment. Look at Tanner Janelle.
Right.
Like, look at what teams will pay, even if they don't have all the elements or haven't found the best way to utilize their skill set to hit their potential.
Utah's first year in the NHL, of course, the previous 12 were Coyotes that had one playoff appearance in that 12-year run. Okay, does Utah make the playoffs?
Yes, I think they're going to be a wild card. I am very high on them. I liked where Arizona was going last year before everything got so chaotic for them, that I see the potential there for it. And I like management wanting to invest in the team and actually caring about how they do on the ice, because I think that's going to be a whole different ballgame. And I have to think, too, like, after everyone settles in and is like, okay, new city, new lifestyle right now, you have to be excited that you're somewhere where you're wanted, not just by the fans, but by the people who are paying you. So I think that's going to be an extra boost that they need.
Marty, do they make it?
No.
No, is the right answer. Sorry, Shana.
What do you guys think the Blues are going to do with this year?
No, the same eight that made it last year will probably make it again this year.
Boring.
Yeah, I know.
This is not an evaluation of the top eight. We're just merely trying to get it right.
Seven or eight. Oh. I'm going to dig my feet. I'm gonna say it right now.
Okay, good.
I'm going to bet on it or something to really firm it up.
We can play off of this all year long. We can. Okay. Yeah.
Let me spin out of Utah team of the day because I want to go to team of the day from 2 weeks ago, the New York Islanders, who have a Ilya Sorokin little boo-boo injury in the summertime. We'll miss a couple of days. But more importantly, Matt Martin gets a PTO. Shayna, you're right down the road from the New York Islanders. You probably are, you know, getting hate mails from their fan base and whatnot. But
why? What did I ever do?
Move on from the Matt Martin PTO in Long Island. Like, I don't see why they're doing that.
I don't really either, because at this point I look at it and it's like, if the Islanders don't know what Matt Martin can do, who does, right? He's been there the most, and Lou Lamoriello has extra experience for those couple seasons in Toronto. I think the Islanders' identity line was great when it was great, and it just feels like it's an experiment that's gone on too long. I think Cizikas can still be very good. I just think I'd like to see him have a little bit more support, because the fourth line for the Islanders used to just be grind it out and be great defensively, and that worked. But in today's game, you can't afford to have such a one-dimensional line at this point. And if you're not going to have wingers that are going to bring the offense and help Cizikas bring the offense, because we know he has that capability, then it just feels like it's those 6 or 7 minutes a game, you're not doing anything. And if the Islanders were this potent scoring team in their top nine, right? Like, they were loaded with talent, it'd be a different conversation, because maybe they could afford that, but it's not the case. Their third line still lacks a scoring punch. So I don't see why they're doing it from a purely on-ice perspective, but I get it with the vibes, the locker room, you know, what he means to the team is a different conversation. So, you know, the PTO is better than just handing someone a contract. And like Lamoriello did that with Clutterbuck, the year before his contract was up, when he had the bum shoulder too. So I guess this is progress.
Will we see any of these?
That was pretty short. Like, that was, I guess this is progress. Was there a question mark? Was there an exclamation point? Was there just a
I'm
dot?
I'm going to say like a dot. Yeah. Like a...
That was, yeah. Leave the punctuation up to one's imagination.
Yes.
What will we see any of the big name RFAs signing soon here? What the heck's going on?
Who is to say? Not me. These situations are dragging out, I think, longer than anybody could want. But you would have to imagine that, you know, like if you're a team like Detroit, they're the easiest one to go to because they have the two biggest name RFAs left. And you think of last season and how it came down to the wire and how had they won 2 points, literally at any other point in the season, they would not have been in that position. Detroit, as it stands, does not project to be that much better of a team. Because it's all based on progression that we don't know if we'll get, right? It's not like they brought in so many players that you're like, oh my God, wow, look at this roster. The roster is better, and now watch them cook. You're saying to the same group, keep building, keep going. So if you're without key players like Seider, because no one else on that blue line can play the minutes he does, he shouldn't even be playing them, but that's another conversation. And you look at Raymond and what an engine he was. He was their most valuable player down the stretch, him and Dylan Larkin. And if you can split them up on two different lines, you have a great top six. You're putting yourself in a position to fail from day one, because those 2 points on day one might be very important. So I can't see them not getting things settled before the season starts, but things are going very slowly.
Dot, dot, dot.
10 dots, 20
Jeremy
dots.
We'll Swayman, we talked a little bit about him yesterday. I'm worried about the Boston Bruins and the standoff. Like, there's word now that Shesterkin is looking for $12.5 million. And if that's what his agent wants, then Swayman is like, I want 10, right? Like, are the Boston Bruins in a bad spot right now, wanting Swayman at $6 million and Swayman wanting way more than that, close to $10 million?
$6 million is an underpayment, and I'm sure the Bruins know it. $10 million is an overpayment. I'm sure Swayman knows it. The part that hurts the Bruins is that everybody knows the Bruins have no other option because they got rid of Ullmark. It's your net. You're not giving it to Korpisalo. So you need him at the end of the day, and you're going to make this work because you still have playoff aspirations and you want to do it sooner than later, because this isn't a team like Detroit that you can wait 2 years and it's no big deal when you look at the ages of their team, their prospect pool, and just their overall drafting strategy over the years. So they have to make this work. So if you're Swayman, you should juice that as much as you can. But it's so interesting. Like if you're swimming and you're saying, well, Shesterkin wants 12 million, I'd be like, okay, I could aspire to 10, but realistically, he has to know he's not a $10 million goalie because he's never even been a starting goalie. They didn't even trust him to start back-to-back games or start two consecutive games during the regular season, to the point where during the playoffs, they almost, you know, hurt themselves in round one, straying from him because of it. So Shesterkin here is a guy that has proven not only can he be a bona fide starter, but he can be an elite starter and he can outright carry a team in the regular season and the postseason. So you're arguing from two totally different viewpoints. I have to imagine the player knows that, but you need a high negotiating strategy when you know the team is going to come in really low. So if he settles at 8.5 million, which is what my gut is telling me, everyone will be happy at the end of the day.
I was 7 to 7.5. I think 8.5 would be a lot of money. But
should have signed him before you traded Ullmark then.
You know what? I'm going to go one step further. Somebody should have offered Sheet Swayman a year ago.
Yes.
That's the soapbox I'm going to die on. That's the hill I'm going to die on. That would have been the play a year ago. But
yeah.
Whatever.
Maybe next year someone will be willing.
We didn't reach enough people to get it done last year. We need to like scream it to people, but that's okay.
Is that a reflection of our streaming services? Are we not reaching enough people?
We needed to do it every day, the Swayman update last year, and
you needed more marketing, like billboards, sending out letters, maybe email chains. Ooh, fax machines. We needed to fax it to every general manager because that's how they'll see it.
Letters and emails, right,
letters,
Marty?
And emails.
That's what we learned with Ryan Johnson.
Snail mail. It works. Mail. Oh, quickly, last Saturday, Jesse Pegula. The Bills won Sunday. They won last night. They mentioned Jesse. Her loss to Aryna Sabalenka, but a really valiant effort. You had to be watching. What'd you think of Jessie?
Yeah, I thought she was going to come back during the second set. I really did. Like when she went down early in the second set, I'm like, okay, this is your moment, just like the semis. But it was such a good run for her. And I think that she should know that just to get to the final is one thing, right? Like how many players get to a final and lose it before they win? It's a stepping stone. So I would say don't be discouraged, but I'd be so curious, like, what she does from here with her doubles and singles schedule. Like, this is what I need to know.
Shayna is also our VMAs correspondent, given that she is closest to UBS Arena. what was the takeaway, the highlight for you from the VMAs 40th anniversary this week?
I mean, Chapel Roan is a superstar of all superstars. I love that she loves a theme and goes, I'm going to commit to this in every which way. And it's not just the flashy, the whatever.
Yeah.
And what she stands for, which is incredible, but oh my God, is she talented?
Yes.
Like ridiculously talented. She was the highlight of the night. Sabrina Carpenter was great. They were like so many good performances all over the place. But to me, like it was perfect. She didn't need to do a mashup of all of her songs. She just crushed the one, and it was so like worth it for her to do that. I think it was like her first big award show experience, right? And it's gonna be the first of a million. So if that is a taste of what we're getting, I can't wait to see what she does from here.
I remember LL Cool J doing it well years and years and years ago. So that's where like I went. I went to YouTube and watched the music performance from the 90s and the early 2000s at the VMAs because that's where my memory bank went to.
Chapel
Roan. I mean, he performed again, which surprised me.
Yeah. And it was really good. Chapel Roan was new artist of the year. It was fantastic. Nice appearance by Halsey, too. I'm really excited for what's next coming from her as well. Shayna, thank you. We will see you again next week.
Thanks for having me.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic will wrap Sabres Live next.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Oh, mutation. You were coughing phlegm earlier, so
Well, that's an unnecessary description or depiction of what's really happening behind the scenes. Oh.
That's like from my Monsters, Inc. days where the guy's name is Bile. And they're like, Mr. Bile. And he goes, my friends call me phlegm. Mr. Biles. Can you tell us what you did wrong here?
Dan Bilesma back in the NHL this year.
Yes.
Coaching out in Seattle. Three games streaming from Prospects Challenge on Sabres.com starting tonight with Buffalo and Columbus at 7. What is your expectation Where is your focus tonight?
I think it's going to be a beautiful weekend weather-wise. Hockey is back. The Bills played last night. They won, so you don't have to worry about that for Sunday. The fans are going to be there. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So show up tonight, tomorrow night, and Monday for the Sabres games and all the other games, and it will be awesome. Just before we go, it's Friday. We have a three-day weekend. That's the way it goes. Actually, four-day. We won't be there on Tuesday. We're in New York for the broadcast meetings. An update from Darren Dreger this morning. He texted me and he says, hey, got a little bit of an update on the Peyton Krebs situation. Saying that his people are telling him that there hasn't been much negotiating happening for the better part of a month now, that it's not moving along as fast as maybe the Krebs side would hope. But he said it may take a little bit longer and we're at a standstill right now.
Well, the good news is there's plenty of hours left on this Friday. So let's expect some news around 5 p.m. just prior to the Prospects Challenge. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you soon.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.